Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building a jungle leaning, old school D&B Reese in Ableton Live 12, and then we're going to saturate it in a controlled, automation-driven way so it feels alive, nasty, and record-ready without wrecking the sub or smearing the groove. This is not about making some giant preset that just sounds huge in solo. It's about making a bass line that can sit under chopped breaks, answer the snare, and evolve across the drop with just enough grit to feel authentic to old jungle and early D&B. That difference matters a lot. Why this works in D&B is pretty simple. The bass has two jobs. The Reese gives you attitude, motion, and audible character. The sub gives you pressure and weight. If you try to force both of those jobs into one layer, the mix usually gets cloudy fast. So we split the roles first. Then we process the Reese so it can get aggressive without destroying the foundation. Start with two tracks, one for the Reese, one for the sub. Keep the sub clean, simple, and mono. A sine wave or a very clean low oscillator is perfect. Then build the Reese from a harmonically rich source. A detuned saw stack, a wave-eatable patch, anything with enough mid-range movement to react well to saturation. Before you reach for any distortion, shape the raw patch so it can actually survive the processing. Keep the detune moderate, wide enough to feel alive, but not so wide that the center disappears. Use a low-pass filter somewhere around the body range, maybe 150 to 400 Hz depending on the sound. Then set the amp envelope so the note has a short attack, a medium decay, low sustain, and a release that doesn't wash everything out. And here's a big one. Make sure the note spacing works with the break. Old-school jungle bass often feels powerful because it leaves room. The bass breathes around the snare. It doesn't just fill every gap. If the rhythm is already crowded before you add saturation, the distortion will only exaggerate the clutter. So once the Reese is musically useful, drop in saturator on that track. This is where the tone starts to come alive. A good starting point is around 3 to 8 dB of drive, with soft clip enabled if you want a safer push into density. Trim the output so the level stays honest. Don't fool yourself with louder meaning better. What to listen for here is whether the bass gets more apparent texture in the midrange, especially that 150 Hz to 2 kHz zone, and whether the attack starts to feel more present without turning brittle. You want the bass to step forward, not fold into fuzz. If the low end starts sounding like it's collapsing, back off the drive or reduce how much low-frequency content is hitting the saturator in the first place. Now bring in EQ8. You can place it before the saturator if you want to shape what hits the distortion, or after it if you want to clean up the harmonics that get created. Both approaches work. If you EQ before, the distortion reacts to a more focused signal. If you EQ after, you let the saturation create the character first, then sculpt the result. A really practical move is to high-pass the Reese gently around 70 to 120 Hz if your sub is separate. That keeps the saturator from working too hard on the fundamental. If the Reese gets harsh, take a small dip somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz. And if it starts feeling too thin after filtering, bring a little body back around 180 to 350 Hz instead of trying to fake sub with EQ. That's a much more musical move in D&B. Now for the heart of the lesson. Automation. Instead of leaving saturation static, automate the saturator drive so the bass evolves across the phrase. This is where the track starts to breathe. A strong old-school move is to keep the first part a little cleaner, then increase drive as the section develops. For example, let bars 1 and 2 sit at a moderate level, push bars 3 and 4 a little harder, pull back for contrast, then hit a stronger peak near the phrase turn. You do not need huge moves. Often 2 to 4 dB of drive difference is enough to make the drop feel like it's opening up. That's the key idea. Small changes, placed musically, feel powerful. Big changes often just sound like overprocessing. What to listen for now is whether the bass feels like it's opening its mouth on the stronger bars while still keeping its note shape. The groove should intensify, but the drums should still lead. If the automation is too extreme, the tone changes faster than the track can handle, and the whole thing starts feeling unstable in the wrong way. If you want more attitude, you can add a second stock device after the saturator. Overdrive, amp, or pedal can all work, but use them carefully. A chain-like saturator into EQ into compressor is good for controlled, mix-safe weight. A chain-like saturator into overdrive or amp into EQ gives you more bite and more of that hardware-ish jungle edge. But be careful. You're looking for grit in the mid-range, not a total collapse into static. A really useful production habit here is to commit when the tone feels right. Freeze and flatten, resample, print a few bars. Once the bass is speaking properly, turning it into audio helps you stop treating it like an endless sound design project and start treating it like part of the song. That's a pro move, and honestly, it usually leads to better arrangements. Now, don't check this in solo and call it done. Bring in the break, the kick, and the snare immediately. In DNB, a saturated reese that sounds huge by itself can still wreck the groove once the full drum pattern is playing. Listen for snare clarity first. The bass should not mask the snap or the body of the snare. Then check the kick-to-bass relationship. The bass needs to leave room for the kick's punch and initial hit. If the reese is colliding with the snare every time it lands, shorten the notes, reduce release, or soften the drive around that area. If it's fighting the ghost notes in the break, simplify the rhythm before you add more processing. This is especially important in jungle and old-school DNB, because the break itself is part of the bass line's movement. The bass should feel like it interlocks with the drums, not sits on top of them. For extra phrase contrast, automate a filter alongside the saturation. A low pass opening and closing over 4 or 8 bars gives you that classic tension and release. Start a phrase slightly muted, open it gradually, and bring the saturation up as the filter opens. Then close it again before the next section shift. That makes the bass feel like it's arriving, not just being louder. If you want to go wider, be selective. Old school DNB often rewards discipline more than endless stereo width. A wider reese can work for atmospheric or ravey sections, but keep the sub fully mono no matter what. That part is non-negotiable. If you want width, let it live in the mid-range harmonics, not in the low end. A quick check. Collapse the track to mono or just imagine the stereo pulled in. If the bass disappears or turns hollow, the stereo information is doing too much work. That usually means you need to tighten the low end and keep the width higher up in the spectrum. For arrangement, think bigger than a loop. Let the saturation become part of the track's structure. Maybe the first 8 bars of the drop are more restrained, then the next 8 bars get dirtier and wider. Or maybe the first half is the statement, and the second half is the escalation. That kind of progression is what makes a DNB drop feel like it has a story. You can even use the bass as a transition device. Keep it cleaner at the end of a phrase, then open the filter and increase the drive right after a fill. That kind of movement feels very old school, because the energy comes from timing and contrast, not just from sheer loudness. And here's a bonus coaching point. Don't automate everything at once. Pick one main motion first, usually drive or filter cutoff. If you start moving saturation, eck, width, and filter all at the same time, the bass can get unpredictable and the arrangement loses clarity. Bass reads as power in this style. A slightly restrained bass with good note spacing often feels heavier than a busy bass line with more distortion. Another quick quality check. Mute the drums for a couple of seconds, then bring them back. If the bass only sounds exciting in solo, it may be overprocessed or too frequency heavy. If the drums suddenly feel stronger when they return, you're in the right zone. That's the sweet spot we want. So let's pull it all together. Build the reese and sub separately. Keep the sub clean, centered, and stable. Shape the reese so it has a clear front edge and enough mid-range body to respond well to processing. Use saturator to add harmonic weight, then use EQ to control what the distortion is excited by and what it leaves behind. Automate the drive so the bass evolves across the phrase instead of sitting flat. Test everything with the actual break, kick, and snare. Then, if needed, add a second stage like overdrive or amp for extra bite. Keep checking mono. Keep the low end disciplined, and commit when it feels right. The goal is not maximum distortion. The goal is a bassline that feels alive, menacing, and locked to the groove. For your practice, build an 8-bar phrase where the reese starts controlled and gets dirtier by the end, while the sub stays steady and mono. Use only stock devices. Keep one main automation lane at first, just saturator drive. Then audition it with a break loop and snare in place. If that works, print it and bounce it. If you want to push further, take the 16-bar challenge and make the second half of the drop more urgent without masking the snare. Do that, and you'll start hearing the difference between a bass preset and a proper DNB bass performance. Go build it, listen in context, and trust the groove.